Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Can You Edit That Out? My name is David Zafra, and today's episode features local San Diego comedian Matt Lockwood. Matt Lockwood is one of my friends in the comedy scene, and he's a good person to talk to because I think he's one of the few people that I can have a conversation with that doesn't completely go into like really negative things about comedy or about people. The overall conversations with him can be very positive, and I always feel really good about the comedy scene when I talk to him. And in this, when we recorded this, I was very frustrated with a lot of things happening in the scene. And we talk a little bit about that at the beginning of the episode. And I edited out a lot of things just because I don't feel like it's necessary to bring any of these things to light. Because talking with other groups, it seems like this is the kind of stuff that just happens when you get any group of people and you put them together and they have to be around each other constantly. You know, even some of the people that we talked about, we're still good friends with and we like them a lot. So there's no issues with anybody. And we're both still very big fans of the scene and we both still very much love comedy. So hopefully nothing in certain parts of the conversation come off too negatively to anybody. I think overall it was a very positive conversation. So I hope you guys enjoy it.
Why do you do comedy?
I don't know. I have no idea. I was actually just thinking about this the other day. I don't know.
No conclusion.
No.
Zero idea.
Because I mean, I wasn't even a fan of comedy growing up. And so
neither was I, really.
I don't know what compelled me to do comedy. I don't know why I moved to do comedy. I don't know why I'm still doing comedy.
Why do you think it works for you? Because you're pretty good.
You're
kind of good right away.
If I went up and was just terrible, I would have quit for sure.
But not everybody would.
No.
So what about?
There's people that need to quit. but it's just, yeah, I mean, it went well the first couple times, and I was like, all right, I might be onto something here. And I mean, I didn't really have like a plan for my life at all. Didn't want to go to college because I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, let's choose this very lucrative, safe career of comedy.
You went into comedy right after graduation?
Of high school?
Yeah.
No. It was 3 years between high school and college.
What was happening during those 3 years? Did you attempt college?
I went to college for a year. One, couldn't pay for it. And two, I didn't want to pay for it. College if I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I just kind of said, nah. And then just worked and got really, really bored just living.
Where were you working?
Just a warehouse.
I used to work at a warehouse.
Nice.
What'd you do?
T-shirts. Old lady t-shirts and sweatshirts. Like birds and cats and snowmen. T-shirts and sweatshirts. Terrible.
I used to make sprinklers.
That sounds exciting. In a warehouse? You didn't even get to install them?
It was just like, it's not even, I would put together the inside parts of the sprinkler, and then those parts would be passed on to somebody else so that they could make the sprinkler, but literally it's just like a machine, and you would put little pieces onto, like, the spaces, and then it would just go in a circle like this, and then you would just let that, and it would weld it, and then it was really boring.
And whatever you just described, you did that for 8 hours a day?
It's just like little pieces moving around in a circle, and then, yeah.
You're just describing that. I already didn't listen to it because it's so boring.
It was terrible, yeah. I mean, I was definitely not built for that. I've always needed my brain to be stimulated. Is that the same for you?
The thing about working in the warehouse was I was by myself, so I would listen to things.
Yeah.
And that's when I started getting into podcasts, which inevitably got me into comedy.
Okay.
Like that. Somehow, some way, I started listening to Doug Loves Movies without any idea of who anybody is. And then it kind of trickled. This guy has a podcast. He was funny. I'll listen to that. And I eventually started listening to 40 to 50 hours of podcasts a week. And so then I was just like deep into the comedy, kind of like the altier undergroundish,
for sure,
comedy scene. And then just kind of was like, hey, maybe I could do this.
Yeah. Why do you think it worked out for you?
I don't know. I don't have answers.
Have you ever? Have you ever like? Did you ever have a need to want to do anything else?
No. I mean, I've always, since I was young, I always wanted to be an actor, but I never really wanted to like go out and just be an actor. It just seems so shitty.
Yeah.
To move to Hollywood and just
do like
have
auditions.
To go to audition.
And
yeah, just so shitty.
Yeah.
And I've always loved, yeah, like movies and TV and just pop culture in general. And then kind of got into comedy and was like, yeah, that's like an avenue into that.
Yeah.
In a way. Like my first plan to move to California was to move to LA and be like a PA on movies. I want to get like behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Stuff.
And why didn't you do that?
Cause LA's scary.
Yeah.
It's so scary. And then I just was like, yeah, I'll try comedy. Just try comedy.
Yeah. And it worked out.
So far, it's been all right. I wouldn't say it's worked out yet.
Well,
so
you know,
but
right. I mean, if you, like, you kind of found your, you feel like you found your place,
yeah,
in a way, don't you?
Yeah.
Even though it's like a struggle and we're all kind of questioning ourselves to, you,
yeah,
know, whether we're going to make it or not or whatever. Right now in the moment, you're doing decently.
Yeah.
And you're a funny person that other people like. And
oh, my gosh. Thank you so much.
You know, I'm just there. And you're happy. I think you told me that comedy makes you very happy.
Yeah. This is easily the happiest I've ever been in my life. Also, the saddest, but it's less like, I'm a sad person. It's more about like, man, this career path sucks. But like, it happens, and it's going to,
yeah,
happen. And I think that's a part of like what makes me happy, too, just knowing I'm putting so much work and effort into this thing,
yeah,
to try to make it work.
Something that you care about.
Yeah, I'm not bored.
Yeah,
I've never been this not bored with my life.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes me happy.
Definitely. Is there anything else that you want to do to occupy your time with? Is that being productive important to you?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I can take an occasional chaos. I don't, okay. Can we edit that out?
Yes.
Listen, I can take the occasional day off and not do anything.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. I don't need to always be working. But long-term stuff, I definitely need something to do.
Yeah.
And that's why that warehouse shit just killed me. Like, I was making a lot of money, working a lot. It was a good job. I liked it. But to just be stuck, like, for that to be my plan for my life is just so, nah. Like,
yeah,
it's, I can't imagine. Even people that go to college and get degrees, like, hospital management sounds like the most boring degree. One of my best friends is doing that, and he wants to do it, and he loves it. But I could never do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
What do you think it is about your psychology that just doesn't fit in with that kind of thing?
I mean, the whole small town thing is just like, hey, let's grow up, go to school, meet a girl, have kids, have a family. Like, that's the dream life. And that's, for me, it's always just been like, we're here for such a short, and this is going to sound so, you know,
I
whatever.
Like it.
But we're here for such like a short amount of time. And, like, we're so meaningless in the big picture. Like, why not go out and try to have fun and do something cool?
Yeah.
Like, why, if I want to go and make people laugh, like, why wouldn't I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I get a job as a teacher?
Yeah.
Which I would love, but, I mean, this is,
That would be plan B.
Yeah, that is plan B.
If this doesn't work out, then
I gotta go
like,
back to school,
yeah,
at fucking 35 and get a degree in teaching.
We'd probably do better.
Oh yeah, yeah.
As opposed to now, with this, I was ditching class to go to do stand up. So I just,
it's just, and even like with a teacher, like you start teaching, and yeah, it's like new and it's different every,
yeah,
day, but it's still you're teaching the whole time.
And like, you're teaching
comedy,
what other people want you to say.
Yeah,
yeah.
And comedy is just so like, there's always room to do something cool.
Yeah.
Like there's always something cooler you can do, and I mean, in 20 years, who knows what the cool thing, like, someone's going to do something crazy, and it's going to be amazing, you know? And, like, teachers change lives, but, like, we tell jokes. Like, that's better. Laughter is the best medicine.
Yeah, that's true.
So our audiences are going to live forever, and those kids are going to fucking die. We need to write this down. This is gold.
So do you think, let's hear a little bit more about this. Where did that come from? Okay, you just say you came from a small town.
Yeah.
And you...
Very religious.
Most of the religious and most of the people that you grew up around had that philosophy of life. And what happened to you that you kind of had this like, oh, we're all meaningless and we're this tiny thing. Let's make the most of this tiny existence.
My, My mom got divorced when I was a child, so yeah. I was for.
Did you used to be religious?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Still am. So I was raised in like a single parent home, so I was 9. I mean, that's still really young, but then we moved to this small, very Christian, very conservative town.
Yeah.
But my family was always, I've always felt that we were different, you know, just like much more open-minded, much more casual. My favorite thing to do with my family, like at dinner tables and stuff, was just see how close to the line I could get without going over it. Just keep pushing and pushing for that reaction. But even like in school with discussions and stuff, like I was always, it was me against everybody.
Yeah.
You know, like people were like, you're the guy that supports gay rights. And I was like, well, yeah, because they're people.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, nah, that's not what the Bible said. And it's just kind of like, okay. Like I've always had a different mindset than the people I grew up with. And I think that just kind of helped me grow up a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
And like none of my friends, when we were in middle school and, I had, like, one friend, maybe, that had divorced parents. So nobody knew what it was like, mm-hmm. you know, leaving every other weekend and having to deal with them fighting and shit. Like, it's just, it kind of makes you grow up a little bit faster when you have anything shitty happen. And in my case, it was just like, oh, no one else has this.
Yeah.
It's not like divorce is a big issue anymore, but it was in this small town, Like, nobody knows how to deal with it.
Were you being funny back then?
Oh, yeah.
Like, is that how you coped with it?
In high school, yeah. Like, it was a small high school, but it still had the cliques. And I kind of hung out with, like, the quote-unquote cooler kids. And I think it's mostly just because of my humor.
Yeah.
Like, it's very cliche to say, but, I mean, that's how it was.
That's cool, man. Now you're doing comedy.
Yeah.
What is the goal for you in comedy? I don't mean, like, career-wise, but, like, what do you want to do with this comedy?
Well, I want to do stand-up forever.
But, like, what do you want to do that's going to make you happy? What kind of comedy?
Well, see, that I don't know, because there's a lot of things.
What are you trying to do with your comedy?
I want to be good. I want to be good at comedy.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all I want.
Doing what, though?
Whatever. Stand-up, writing, acting. Like, I want to do it all.
Yeah.
And I'd like to have a chance at each one of those. But, I mean, I just want to be good.
Yeah.
I don't even need to be a great... I mean, obviously everyone wants to be, but I just want to be good at comedy.
Yeah.
And just do this.
But what does that mean for you, though?
I don't know.
To be good at comedy. Is there anybody that you kind of, like, look... too, and like, do I want to be kind of like that at some point?
Yes. Rory Scovel, I think right now, is the person where I'm like, he's doing exactly what he wants.
Yeah.
You know, he can go up and have these silly, weird things that he does. But, I mean, I look at him and I'm like, that dude's having fun and he's great.
Yeah.
And that's, I want to be able to do that. You know, I don't want to go to clubs, you know, be on the road and go to clubs every weekend and just be like, here's my jokes, and then leave. Like, why not have fun with everything? That's why we're doing this, right? Is to have fun?
It kind of doesn't seem like that sometimes.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. And there's so many people that are so negative about everything.
Yeah.
But it's like, why are you doing this if it isn't fun?
Yeah.
It's not like it pays well.
Doesn't it's pay like anything. How much have you made doing comedy?
$106.
At once or altogether?
Two times I got paid.
Okay, and together it adds up to 106?
Yeah. What? Okay. And I'll tell you this, one show was $100.
Oh, it's... so then 6 for 1.
And that's over, that's over 2 years.
Yeah.
But lots of drinks.
Yeah.
I mean, if you added up all the drinks I've gotten for free.
And food, if you count, like, I mean, like, what was that, Italian restaurant? I mean, that was
Mama
expensive
Mia's.
Food.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you probably made a couple like bucks on there.
I wonder how much, if you include food and beverage, I've made doing comedy. I'd probably be happy with the number.
Maybe. I don't even think I've gotten food that often. Except for at that show.
Every time I'm booked anywhere, I get food.
Really?
Yeah. Well, maybe not food, but something. I get drinks.
Usually get at least drinks.
Yeah. Even if it's just like a fancy bottled water instead of tap water. Like, yeah, I'm getting that.
Yeah.
I need something.
I think, yeah, most places will give you at least drink tokens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well.
That was fun.
That's the life right there. The first time I got drink tokens, I was so excited.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it was like.
Where? Till 2?
I don't remember where it was. I think it might have been at this. No, did I get booked until 2 before I got? I think it was this place. I don't even know if it's a show anymore, and I can't remember the name, but it was in Chula Vista, and it was a bar, and it was a contest, and did I get it? No, I don't even think I got anything on that one. So maybe it was till 2. It was the first time I got drink tokens.
But those you still have to pay for, right? You still got to pay $1?
I mean, depending on what you get, but yeah. Whatever, man. It's still awesome.
Yo, I only buy expensive drinks.
What do you get? You get beer, don't you?
I get whiskey.
Do you really?
Guy, yeah.
I didn't know that.
I don't drink a lot of beer. Like, I'll drink beer sometimes, but I get acid reflux.
Really?
Yeah. Don't tell anybody.
You're drinking beer right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, you know what I've been, like, getting really frustrated with all the... Like, I love the scene, and I love doing comedy, and even though, like, I'm miserable a lot of the time, like, it still, like, makes me very happy to be doing this.
Yeah.
But it's like... Like the negativity that we're talking about. You know how like I get uncomfortable when everybody's like being like really, really shitty.
Yeah.
To each other, and like, yeah. Some people like encouraging me to like let myself be that person.
Oh, you should.
But it seemed like.
I mean, there's. Cause I've always seen like, comedians. We're just like a giant group of high school girls. Like that's what. I feel like comedy, at least open mics.
Yeah.
The open mic scene, that's what it is. It's just all these people who are trying to not show that they think they're better than everybody else, but are clearly showing it. A lot of shit talking, a lot of clicks, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's just like, I think shit talking can be healthy, though. And I think one of the best pieces of advice I ever got about comedy was there's two routes you can take. You can either get jealous of the people getting booked above you, or just shit on the people below you. One of those is so healthy.
Why is
so
that?
So much healthier than the other.
Why are those the only two alternatives?
Well, what else are you going to do? Stand around with a stupid grin on your face? Like you do in circles?
I don't know. I guess. I just feel like the I'm fine with shit-talking certain people that are just so clearly terrible.
Yeah, like who?
And just wasting everybody's time.
Like who?
I don't like...
Whoa! Can we edit that out?
Yeah, I'll edit it out. You know, certain people that are just ruining the show for everybody,
yeah.
Including the audience, and I think that's fucked up. I also don't like people that are mean to the audience.
Yeah.
Or that feel resentful or feel better or feel like the audience is beneath them or stupid or anything like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I want to be a good comedian, but I also want to be, like, you know, happy and be a good person.
Yeah.
Like, why would I...
I mean, you can be a good person and still shit-talk people.
I shit-talk people.
Good. Then that's I think it's healthy.
But I like... I
just shit-talk people that are worse than you. That's
it's,
all.
It
Don't shit-talk people that are equal. Don't shit-talk people that are above you.
But, like, that's what I'm getting tired of is the people that are kind of equal and are, you know...
Oh, yeah. That's very, very relevant to the past 2 months, would you say?
Yeah. I hate it. Like, it's like I go inside and one group is talking shit about the other group, and then I go inside. Like, it's like...
I had this exact conversation with my sister today.
Yeah.
About how stupid it is.
Yeah, but it's so fucked up because it's like, it's not people that are, like, horrible.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
There's
I'll edit this out, but it's like, when I'm like outside and...
Four.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And I hang out with both groups.
And that's the same for
me.
If
you want to do it, fine, but not when I'm here. I'm going to leave if you guys do this.
Yeah, and that's very frustrating because, like, yeah, they're both good comics.
Yeah.
I mean, both groups are good. And...
Nobody is better than anybody.
And they're not, maybe not, like, I get it because, like, they're not each other's type of comedy, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's not a reason to, like, shit on anybody.
No. It's so dumb. That's why whenever Shane's around, I just go to him. I'm in love with Shane.
Yeah. And now, like I said, yeah, the talking, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of talking shit about new people unless they're just clearly terrible and are never going to get any better.
Yeah.
And they're just doing it because they are trying to get attention. It's just tough, man.
Yeah, it sucks, but it's what we do. It's our life.
So that's a struggle. I'm glad we can agree on that one. Yeah, so that's sure. What I mean. That's what I. That's the shit talking I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I understand the shit talking.
They're very different.
Very different.
Yeah,
and it's not just because it's shit talking. It's like you guys are just being mean.
Yeah,
that's not even. That you're just being assholes.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I love talking shit so much.
But like about who though?
Really, anyone's fair game. But if it's like, if you're being, like, if I'm seriously upset with somebody, I don't go out and just talk shit, yeah. You know, like, either I'll say something to them, or I'll say something to someone who's a close friend of ours to see, you know, like, there's stuff you can figure out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's what I think guys will understand is, like, that everyone's so passive-aggressive about everything, and that's such a, that's the most unhealthy way to deal with relationships, yeah. Is to be passive-aggressive. And so just... I don't know. Like, I talk shit about guys I don't really know that are just starting. I'm sure people did it to us. I'm sure many people have talked shit about how bad I am. Whatever. It's just something, I think, I don't know why we do it, but we just do it, you know, because then we feel better. Then we... And, like, it gives me confidence, too, to see if, like, a shitty person goes up before me and then I'm about to go up, it...
Yeah, no,
my
I love it.
Confidence on stage is already
yeah, because you know you're gonna do. They're gonna be relieved that you're not terrible.
Yeah, the minute I say my first joke, this crowd's gonna love me.
Yeah.
Because the last guy was so bad. I love that.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that as well.
Hey, if you ever book me, put me after someone terrible.
I'll book someone terrible just for that reason.
And like a lot of people don't want to follow good comics, and a lot of people don't want to follow bad comics, but I want to follow both.
Yeah, like
I don't want to follow a forgettable set. I don't want to follow a mediocre comedian.
Yeah.
Give me one end or the other. Those are my two favorite spots. Because if someone goes up and crushes, I'm like, all right, now yeah. Let's see if I can do this. They're already hot. Someone goes up and bombs, I'm like, hey, watch this. All I need to do is tell the worst joke I've ever written.
Yeah.
And they'll love it because it's not your shitty comedy.
That's great. I think the other thing that I've been struggling a lot with lately is... feeling like people want you to be a certain type of comedian.
Me specifically?
No, like...
Just people in general?
People in general.
Okay.
I don't know if you feel that at all. Like, I kind of...
We've had this conversation, right?
Have we?
Maybe not.
Maybe not. But just hearing you say that makes me feel like we might be connecting on something.
Yeah. Well, in my case, I get a lot of people saying, like, how... silly and obnoxious and over the top I am in conversation, then I go on stage and it's kind of lower energy.
Yeah.
Which I feel like there will be a point when I get to that.
Yeah. But that's something you
agree
on. I'm
still trying
to
write jokes right now, you know? Like, I'm not going to go on stage and just be... It's also so risky. Yeah. You know, like, at this point, just let me write jokes.
Yeah.
And then when I get jokes, then I'll do whatever, but... What do people say for you?
I don't know, I just sometimes get the sense from a certain group of people that they kind of don't like the type of comedy that I do, and they would prefer it to be, I don't know, less whatever I'm doing, more jokey and less, I don't know what it is that I do.
Because you're kind of like a story guy.
Not really. I mean, everything I say is true, but...
Maybe not story, you're more of a long, like you don't have quick jokes.
No.
Is that what they want?
I don't know what
they
want.
What do they want? They want less real life?
I guess.
Who tells you that? Because they're the worst.
I don't know what it is. Or maybe the concepts that I'm talking about, or maybe it's, I don't know. I just get the sense from certain people that it's just like, they don't think I'm funny, and that kind of feels shitty, but I don't want to
do
the kind of...
You're like, all you talk about is marriage, and you should do funeral parlors? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
What did we say? Did we say you should do funeral parlors?
No, that was my idea. Is I want to do a tour. I want to do a tour
people.
Of just sad comedy.
Oh, yeah, because we talked about how sad you were.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the thing about you that I love so much is like you tell these sad, like kind of sadder things, but you're so lovable and you always have like a smile while you're on stage.
Yeah.
And so it's not like, oh, look how sad that guy is. It's like, oh, this guy is funnily sad. Like, I don't know. Whoever told you to... change is stupid.
I've gotten that very little.
Say their name. Say their name.
I've gotten that very little, but it's more that I get the sense that people don't think I'm funny, and maybe they would like me better if I did whatever they do. I don't know.
You told me the other night that you thought you were unliked in the scene.
No, not unlike, just nothing, like not even noticed.
That's so weird to me.
Well, like whatever, it's not my. It's what I'm doing on stage is not attracting people to be like, oh, that guy's funny. It's just like that guy's there and he's hangs out and he's a comic or whatever.
So what do you do to change that?
I don't know what to do because I kind of like the stuff that I do.
Yeah. Well, if you like it, then do it.
Well, it's tough.
Who cares? Well, obviously you care.
I care a lot about what people think. Do you care a lot about what people think about you?
Yeah. And I'm trying to get out of that. Like, I care to the point where I'll be, like, walking down the street and the guy passing me, I care what he thinks about me.
100% agree with you.
And that's what I've been working on. For maybe like a year now.
Yeah.
It's just trying to be like, no one cares. No one cares.
Yeah. Is it working?
No. Not at all. And I think that's why I haven't done the silly, obnoxious stuff on stage.
Yeah.
It's because I genuinely care about what strangers think about me, which is so stupid.
Yeah.
So stupid. But I don't know.
Yeah, and I'm that's a realization that I've made over the last couple months is that I need to have more confidence in myself and more of a I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks about me attitude, because it's really holding me back to care so much that it's like I'm stopping myself from doing so many things because
why do you care? Like, what is your fear? What will happen if someone doesn't like you?
I don't know what's going to happen. I just don't want them to think I'm shitty. Yeah. I fear. Like, I'll think I'm awesome, and, like, everybody thinks I'm out of That would be the worst.
No, bro, I'm doing a show on
I'm editing so many things out of this.
Just put bleeps over the names.
Bleeps over the names. That's what I'm worried about, is that people will be, like think what I'm doing is terrible, and it sucks, because I don't know, like, I did the Salt Your Own Popcorns, and I wasn't going to release them.
Oh, yeah, the one you cut me from?
Exactly. Because I cared too much what people thought about it. and it really just, like, I had a bunch of them recorded, and I was just talking to Ryan one day.
Ryan Hicks?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, this was, like,
I know you guys
when he first started off. And he really, like, heard my idea and was like, yeah, you should do that, and you should put those out. And then when I started posting him, he was really supportive of it. But it's, like, I mean, I was ready to just throw everything away. Because I cared so much that I would release them, and then people be like, "What the fuck is this guy trying to like make videos and stuff?" Like,
And I mean, you just at some point you just gotta be like, "Hey, man, fuck you."
Yeah,
I'm gonna do this. I want to do this. I'm gonna do this.
It's so hard.
It is.
I don't even want anybody to listen to this podcast.
Bro, you're probably gonna get like 20 listeners.
That's
from me. I'm bringing 20. How much time can you give me if I'm bringing 20? I'd be surprised if I got you 20.
Yeah.
I'll share it on Facebook. I have like 300 friends. Ooh. How many people will listen to it?
I haven't looked at my stats yet.
The stats?
My stats for the podcast. I don't know. I just like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm afraid of. I mean, do you ever have any projects that you would want to get out?
Yeah. And I'm working on them, and I'm very selective in who I talk to about them.
Mm-hmm. Like, selective for what reasons? You don't want to show it to somebody that's going to be like, that's stupid?
Yeah, I mean, when I talk to people about serious things, I go to people I trust.
Yeah.
People whose opinions I trust, and people who I think are funny and also know what else is funny, and also know what will work and have good ideas. And there's, like, three specific things that I'm working on now, and all three of them I've gone to different people for feedback, which is actually a really cool thing that we have people. That's a different conversation. But, yeah, it's just about, you know, like, I trust you. I trust what you think about this. I trust what you're going to tell me. I trust that if it's bad, you'll tell me it's bad. I know you'll have good ideas.
Yeah.
I know you'll give, you know, whatever you have for it. And so it's just, I don't know. It's, what was the question? No, it's cool. It's, but yeah, I don't announce to everybody. I don't say, hey, guys walking by, you want to see my screenplay? Like,
you're working on a screenplay?
Nah. What?
Are you good about accepting positive feedback on whatever you do?
Yes. Okay. But I crave, I love, and I genuinely crave negative feedback.
Interesting.
I think not like, hey, you suck, but like, hey, don't do this because of this. That's so much more valuable to me than, hey, man, what you did with this was good. Because in my mind, it's all good. Like, that's why I'm saying it. Because at some point, I thought this was good.
Yeah.
And so to hear someone be like, hey, that's not what you should do. I mean, I don't. There's a lot of people who give advice that I don't give a fuck about. but there's also people that I do.
Yeah.
And so it's just, yeah, I'll listen to that. And I'll take that into consideration. And I'll change it how I need to change it and see if it works better. But.
So you're not a tough critic of yourself?
Oh, I'm, yeah, the toughest.
Okay.
Yeah. No, but I also don't trust myself. And so I'll go to other people and say, hey, is this, did you see the set? Yes. Was this funny specifically? Usually no. Then I say, all right, I'm quitting comedy. I buy a plane ticket back to Michigan, and I work in a pizza place for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I mean, you have experience, so.
Yeah. 7 fucking years.
Really? Making that long? Pizza. Wait, aren't we the same age?
How old are you?
24.
Yeah, I'm 24.
1990?
Yeah. What's up, bro? We some 90s boys.
Anyways, all right, well, how is comedy affecting your personal life?
Well, I moved to a city where I knew zero people. And so comedy kind of is my personal life.
Okay.
Comedy is my only friends. Yeah. I mean, I have work. I know people at work. I hate them all.
Are they going to listen to this?
I hope so. Fuck all of you. You're all terrible. I like Eric. Eric, what's up? But yeah, it's just, I mean, this is my social life.
Yeah.
And which is all right for me because I don't have friends. I go back, you know, I don't have to balance time at all or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have kids and a wife. I just, if I want to hang out, I go do comedy, and that's the hangout, which is a very convenient thing.
It is. Does it get kind of like, I don't know, boring, though?
Yeah. But at the same time, like, if I want excitement, then I'll write new bits, and that's the excitement.
Yeah.
And that kind of drives me to do that because I want to go. And if it's, you know, whatever, we're hanging out and people are watching sets, then I'm going to be like, I want to make my friends laugh with shit they've never heard before.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's the excitement in it.
Yeah.
There's always a little bit of excitement for people getting cool things and doing cool things.
Yeah. Since you're so kind of, your social life is so intertwined with comedy right now, is it difficult to, like, go out of that circle and, like, interact with people that just have no passion in their life at all for anything?
Yeah, I hate regular people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I... We've been at restaurants, and I'll sit and listen to the booth next to us or whatever, and just how uninteresting everything is. And just listening to conversations in general. And everyone's so boring and bored. Which sounds so condescending, but... For real, go do something with your fucking life. But I mean, when we went home in March for that thing, like, I had some of my friends hang out with us, and we all got along, and it was great. And I love my friends back home, but I don't have them out here. I don't think it's boring. I mean, I get sick of people.
Yeah.
I've always gotten sick. I get sick of my best friend. When I was growing up, I get sick of my best friends.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're with these guys, what, 6 days a week? 5 days a week? So obviously we're going to get sick of people, but I don't know if it's boring.
Was it boring to, like, interact with, like, yes, you already said yes, but...
with normal people?
Yeah, with anybody close to you in your life that just doesn't do anything?
Are you talking about my brother and sister? Because they're super boring.
What do they do?
They go to bed at 9 o'clock,
uh-huh.
And they work with their work, and...
They come home.
They are so boring. I'm going to tell them to listen to this, just so they know how boring they are. No, but even them, like, they moved out here after they got married.
Yeah.
And didn't know anybody, and yeah. they still don't have any friends.
But did they have hobbies or passions or anything like that?
No, I mean, they have work, and they're both trying to go to school for their master's, and they want to do... I mean, they have cool jobs. They work with kids with autism, so it's, like, rewarding, and it's not some shitty job.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's my sister, so they're not boring. I'm just trying to remember the last time I hung out with regular people.
Yeah.
Because I genuinely can't. I mean, last year for Thanksgiving, I went home. But, I mean, that's my family, so
yeah,
it's
a little different.
Yeah.
Well, do you think if you weren't doing comedy, you would need something else to kind of, like, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
There has to be something.
If I got home from work every day and didn't have anything to do.
You'd freak out.
Like, I remember having that.
Yeah.
But now I don't think I could go back to it.
Yeah.
It'd just be so empty. I'd feel so just, hey, I'm going to watch the next episode of Survivor. Like, who
did you watch that show?
Shh. Survivor's great. I love Survivor. That's my ultimate goal in comedy. I want to be a game show host.
Really?
Or a reality show. Yeah, I don't care what.
Yeah.
I want to host some sort of show.
Why?
It would be the great. I feel like that would make me happy.
Yeah?
Ultimately. Yeah.
Interesting.
If it was Survivor, if it was... Family Feud kind of sucks. Jeopardy? I want to host Jeopardy. I hope Alex Trebek dies so I can get that job.
Do you think there's anybody else in line?
Me? I used to invite friends over, and we'd go to my backyard and play Survivor. And I would host. Because I loved it so much.
You never wanted to be in it?
No. Well, yeah, but I wanted to host more.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'd have other people host, and I'd always win because I knew how to play the game. You just tell everyone you're in an alliance, and then you win. But yeah, I always wanted to host.
Yeah.
I like hosting. I want to host. I don't want to host shows.
Yeah.
I hate hosting shows.
Yeah.
I want to host a game show.
Okay. Well, hopefully.
Let's write one.
Hopefully you get to one day, man.
Hey, someday. What's the ideal thing I want to host? Good question, David. I want to host MTV's The Challenge.
What is that?
The greatest show on television.
I want to be, I would like to host Bully Beatdown. That sounds
Didn't that dude go to jail?
He did. But he was so cool when he was doing the show.
That show was, it was so scripted.
I loved it. Bruh. Loved it.
All right. Short.
It's a good
show.
You know,
you got to fight people if you're on Bully Beatdown.
The host didn't fight people except for once.
Oh. I thought he fought everybody.
No.
Or he brought in people.
He
to
brought
fight?
In at real MMA fighters.
He wasn't a real MMA fighter?
He was, and he fought one time, but the rest of the time it was other people fighting.
Interesting.
I mean, I'd have to, like, get more training.
If you could pick a comic to go in and fight somebody, who would it be?
I would pick...
A white comic.
I'd fight the comic, or they would fight an MMA fighter?
They would
fighter.
Fight the bully.
They would fight the bully.
Yeah, who would you pick?
Well, then they would get their ass kicked, so the bully would never learn a lesson. I'd rather some MMA fighter beat up a
you
comic.
Think every comic would get their ass kicked? There's
some
big-ass comics.
Well, it's not about being big.
Well, there's some comics who probably know how to fight. Bullies don't know how to fight.
More than a person that fights for a living?
The bullies aren't MMA fighters.
Not the bullies. Oh, they would fight the bullies.
They would fight the bullies.
Oh, they'd fight the bullies. Okay.
Not they would fight. Who's your biggest bully? Say that. Who's your biggest bully in comedy?
The biggest comedy bully and who they would have to fight a bully? that's a tough one, man. I don't know.
Let's think about it while I go pee.
Okay.
Can I go pee?
Yeah, sure.
Do I take the microphone?
No, don't burner me. So we're back.
Well,
we're back on the 10th episode. Can you edit that out? Our guest, Matt Lockwood. I actually don't know
you
if
guys
it's
enjoy
or
that
not.
Commercial break.
I'm gonna edit in a commercial break just for this. I really want to get sponsored by Shock Top, so maybe I'll throw in some.
All right. Yo, Shock Top, give us some free shit. Otherwise, I'm going to keep drinking this Ballast Point.
Yeah, we could be drinking Shock Top right now if you sponsor us.
Or Ballast Point sponsor us. Hey, let's get in a war. Hey, who wants
like
to sponsor
Ballast
us?
Point that much.
Okay, bro. Well, you just lost that sponsor. Now we only have Shock Top.
Good. That or Blue Moon. That's all I want.
Oh, you are the gayest person I know.
What's wrong with
you guys?
Beers?
I went out with David Zafra for his 24th birthday, and I said, "Let me buy you a drink." And the bartender said, "What would you like?" And he said, "An appletini, please." And then he said to me, "This is a good appletini."
I said it because I was surprised that Star Bar would have such good appletinis. You know. Not the best.
You're so gay.
If we had gone to Speakeasy, they might have made a better appletini there, but now we'll never know.
I don't know what that is, but oh yeah, that's a little joint where they play the music.
Yeah, I met the guys there that work there.
Oh yeah, that's where you guys said you would be, so I went there.
Yeah,
and you guys weren't there. That was that place.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. I just was chafing.
You were what?
Nothing.
Anyways. So we're talking about
Bully Beatdown.
Let's just get to move on from that topic. All right. So before that, we're talking about filling the void of your life with art.
Yes.
Basically, you have something to put into there now.
Yes.
And if you didn't have that, you definitely need something else because your brain is just kind of programmed that way.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, yeah. Before comedy, I probably would have been fine just taking naps after work.
Was there a time in your life where you just kind of like were like that?
Yeah, I mean, in between college and moving out here, I was never like consciously like, wow, this sucks. But I mean, looking back on it, I was like, yeah, I was so just bored and not happy. Not where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'd hang out with my friends every day. Like, that's what we would do after work.
Yeah.
And that was great. And I love everybody. But just to do that every day for the rest of your life is just so. I'm not on board with that. I want to do something, man.
Yeah, definitely.
I want to get out there and do something.
Make use of this life. Are you afraid of death?
Not even make use of it. Just do something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's.
I mean, make use sounds like we're important. We're not important.
Well, we're not.
To
but
us,
I mean,
we are. Hey, to ourselves and to the ones who love us, we are important.
In the grand scheme of things, whatever we do is meaningless.
Yeah,
but in this little existence that we have,
why not do something with it?
Yeah,
that's my whole theory on life is like go out and try to do what you think would be the funnest thing.
Yeah,
because why get mad at people? Why fight with people? Just have fun with people.
Like that.
And it's worked very well because I have no girlfriend. I have a shitty job.
Well, I mean, it's kind of tough considering you moved to a place where you don't know anybody and you're stuck in this little bubble of comedy.
Hopefully it'll all work out. And I feel like it will.
Yeah.
I feel like I'll be all right. I feel like if one day I'll be able to do something cool with my life.
Cool.
Whatever it is.
What about relationships? Are you seeking anybody right now? Are you interested? Or is that something that's kind of out of your mind because of comedy and being kind of...
I mean, comedy kind of, it has that, it fills my time and everything. And I know at this point it'd be very hard to have, like, a relationship.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be with a comic. And so just for them to understand that, hey, I'm going to leave every night and come back late every night.
Yeah.
Like, that's just hard for anyone to grasp. And so if I did date or have a relationship, it'd have to be with someone who just kind of was like, yeah, I don't know what you're dealing with, but I'd support it.
Yeah.
And some people have found that, and it's amazing. And that's, I mean, that's, as an aspiring comedian, that's all you can really ask for, just someone who understands that their second priority.
would you need somebody that was equally passionate about something? Would you be able to be with somebody that didn't have
I mean,
like, at least a hobby or
something
like,
in like the long term? Yeah, like that they would need. I mean, unless their hobby is like getting me booked or bringing people. I mean, I'd be cool with that. Yeah, I think so. I think that's like a, I don't know if it's necessary, but I think it's a huge, huge bonus to have someone who is.
Well, could you be attracted to somebody that's just kind of like.
Sure. I like girls. I like girls that are into art.
Oh, I mean, like, could you be attracted to somebody that wasn't into anything?
What do they do? Do they work?
They work, and then they come home and they watch TV, and they go to sleep.
Do they suck my dick? I'm so sorry.
Occasionally, yeah.
All right, then yeah.
You'd be down for that.
I mean, yeah. It depends on if they're just like a lazy. I don't have any dream. Then nah, fuck you. But I mean, if you have a long term goal, then yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
It depends on the girl. As long as she's wearing some Nikes.
When's your last serious relationship?
Oh, never.
Never?
Nah.
Nothing?
No.
You ever been in love?
I've never... Yes.
Have you ever said I love you to somebody?
Yes.
And what'd they say?
She said I love you too. But we never dated.
And then that's it? You guys just exchanged I love yous and then moved ways?
No, we used to say it every day.
For how long?
2 years. Well, a year and a half.
Okay. So what was stopping you guys from being together?
Oh, I'm fat and ugly. I think that's it. No, I was definitely in love with this girl. But she just kind of wanted, I feel like she just wanted someone to talk to. Someone who would listen. And I made her feel good. And that's what girls want.
Yeah.
But she was way out of my league. And she knew that.
Wait, why is she out of your league?
She was just the most... She still is the most beautiful girl I've ever met.
Well, how was her personality?
Great. That's what beautiful means. Beautiful is great all around.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was great. And looking back on it, she was very manipulative and very...
That doesn't sound very good.
No, but that's only looking back. Like, I didn't know it at the time. I thought I was going to marry this girl.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't even date me. Yeah. I mean, but that's high school. Like, that's my senior year of high school. Yeah. I thought I was in love. I said, hey, eventually, after a year and a half, I said, hey... You know, what's going to happen with us? Are we ever going to move farther? She said no. And I never really talked to her again.
What's she doing now?
Probably being a bitch. I don't know. I genuinely...
You haven't checked up on her? You haven't gotten curious?
I mean, yeah. We still kind of talk. Not really talk. Last time I went home, last Thanksgiving, a year ago, we went to a bar. Me and a bunch of friends went to a bar, and she was there. And we hung out all night, and then the next day we went and got coffee and just kind of caught up. But that's the last time I talked to her.
That sounds nice.
It was nice. And it was also like, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, fuck her.
You fall in love very easily?
Yeah, almost every day. No, I mean, it was her, and it was another girl who I did date, for a very short period.
Back home?
Yeah. Yeah, I've never been in love in California.
Just not enough selection for you?
I just don't. I do comedy, and I work at a pizza place.
Yeah.
And so the amount of girls I talk to is very low, and the amount of girls I impress is even lower. So it's just kind of, hey.
Yeah.
I mean, I've fucked around with a couple girls in California, but I never been in love.
Yeah, fucked around like.
Like we would make eye contact. That's my version of
fucking around. Well,
kiss with tongue.
That's it.
Well, I didn't say where I kissed her.
Where?
That's the worst joke I've ever made.
What's
I thought you were going to laugh hysterically.
What is, I mean, I guess you have so little experience with relationships that it's maybe kind of hard for
me to... Yeah, just shitty. Just shitty experiences, mostly.
Yeah.
But that's kind of been my whole, like, even growing up, the only relationships I had, like, a view on were shitty. Just really shitty.
You only witness bad relationships?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because of your parents?
It's funny because, like, no one would ever come to me for relationship advice. because I've never been in like a serious one. And I don't know if I should talk about this. My sister recently got divorced, and before their wedding, I had told my brother-in-law, I don't think this is going to last. I was like, something about it isn't right. I know it's not going to last.
Yeah.
And they get married, and a year later, they get divorced.
Yeah.
And
what did he say when you told him that?
Well, he just asked, you know, why? Why do you think this? Why do you think? And I said, because of this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And then he's just like, I agree with you. And I mean, it wasn't obvious, because obviously, if it was obvious, my parents would have said something to her or whatever. They all really liked him. And there was just something. And I think the other thing is like, I saw him where my parents didn't, you know, when they weren't around, when he wasn't trying to impress our family. And so it's just like, nobody trusts me with relationship advice. But at the same time, like, I've seen so many shitty relationships. I feel like I can be like, hey,
yeah,
I might have something to say about this.
Yeah. So do you think now, if you were to get into a relationship, you would be very selective or very tough on what you would, it would take for you to take time and effort into it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd have to be something important.
I think the most important relationships take time and effort.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just about, like, finding someone. I think it all comes down to just having fun. If you're having fun with somebody, like, then it's perfect. What else? You can fight. Just don't get mad at each other.
Yeah.
Fight, and then I'll be like, hey, poopy pants. And then she'll laugh, and then we'll be fine forever. That's my ideal relationship.
I like that.
I want to just yell the word poopy pants and have everything be fine.
I like that a lot. I think that's a good point. Very, very.
What's the point of being mad? What's the point of being mad at anybody? It's so dumb.
So you don't have any like you haven't like cut off ties with anybody and have like.
Oh yeah,
bad
I hate a lot of people.
Okay,
but like the difference is like when there's someone that I know there's a problem with.
Yeah,
I'll cut them out and drop everything I have. I'll cut them out and just be like, you have reached a point now where I don't need you in my life for any reason, so we're done. And it's not like I'm like, hey, you asshole, I'm shunning you. It's just like, no, I'll just stop making an effort.
Yeah.
And then we won't ever talk again, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I want to surround myself with people I enjoy and people that are fun. And I want to be somebody that people enjoy.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like, I hate, it's too cold, and this guy is mean, and like, fuck that, man.
Yeah, for sure.
What are we doing if we're not having fun?
I like this philosophy of yours. It's, I mean, it's difficult for me to live by it, but I appreciate
it. And it's hard for me to live by it, but I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Not really in comedy, more at work, which is hard to have fun, but I mean, I still try.
Yeah, I mean, I like my job, but I don't like... How seriously everybody else takes it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, we're not doing anything right now.
Yeah.
It's like people act like we're working in a hospital or something. And it's like...
You're saving lives.
Yeah, like we're not doing... We're like selling groceries right now. This is not a big deal. Like you don't have to get so upset and not... Like, that's annoying. But the relationship thing, though, I find... you're saying how you witness so many bad relationships. I mean, that's very much... Like, I've had conversations with my wife before, Madison, you know her.
My wife?
About how, like, we don't even really know what a good relationship is because we've never seen one before.
Yeah.
We don't know if we're doing it right, if we're being married correctly. Because, like, my parents, I mean, my dad passed away when I was 13, and so I didn't really see... And her relationship that she has now, she's a fucking psychopath, my mom. And but growing up, they were fighting all the time.
Yeah.
And they were going to get a divorce right before my dad passed away. They were married. They weren't married. But they were going to separate, I'm pretty sure, right before he got sick. And Madison's mom has been married 4 times. So,
pretty
you know. what is that? I don't even know what. I don't know what...
Yeah, but I also, at the same time, like, all that shit sucks, and it's all terrible. But at the same time, like, I feel like you have a more firm grasp on what a relationship is. You know, because all these people that only have good role models just expect everything. They don't see the behind the scenes. They don't see the shittiness.
Yeah.
And they just grow up in the shittiness. Like, it's not good, but I think it you can make it a healthy thing in the long run.
Yeah. Definitely.
You know? Yeah.
If you're not striving for perfection, I like that you think that a relationship is like you guys fight, but then you're happy with each other afterwards.
If you go into a relationship and just be like, every relationship I've seen is just no fighting, everyone's perfect, it just turns into like very passive aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, very, I'm not going to say what I'm feeling. Like, why? That's so unhealthy. Yeah. So unhealthy.
Definitely. So you're pretty good at like conflict resolution then?
No. All the stuff I'm saying, I'm not.
I'm trying
so hard to live by it.
I mean, it sounds like great, like a kinda great philosophy.
Though, my conflict resolution is to try to be funny. I mean, that's the best way to end anything.
Yeah.
Just to let's all laugh about something.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where my comedy comes from.
Yeah. But can that be like difficult for some people if they...
Oh, people will get pissed if you try to make a joke while they're mad.
Yeah, if they're trying to be serious or whatever and you're, like, trying to laugh about the situation.
I mean, I've definitely had that before where, like, people are trying to be serious and I make a joke and everyone's like, all right, dude, fucking leave. We're sick of you. And at the same time, I'm like, why are we all mad at each other? Like, let's go smoke a cigarette and high-five each other in the garage and then come back inside and watch a movie.
Yeah.
Very specific example. But, like, that's why I just don't get it. And that's, I think, even with, like, my friends and stuff back home, like, drama is just, all it is just people being bored.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I love the comedy scene so much is because, well, at first, was because none of us were bored.
Yeah.
So we don't shit on it. We, like, we don't get in fights. We just all go and fucking... watch these new shitty things I wrote. And then we're all happy and high-fivey.
Definitely.
But now I think people are starting to get bored because we've been doing the same thing for 2-3 years.
It's and good
now
theory.
Shit's hitting the fan.
Yeah. And then like all your friends are just like...
Yeah, I'm like, this is why I left Michigan.
Yeah.
Is because of this, and now you guys are doing this.
That's
now I have to
terrible.
Leave San Diego.
maybe that's the sign. You got to go up to LA now. It's time to...
Ugh,
time to start big time.
I'm not
it.
Ready for that. I don't want to ever be ready.
Yeah. Do you have like a lot of like people in your life that you ended things badly with and just don't talk to anymore?
No.
That's good.
Maybe one or two people.
Yeah.
Total.
I feel like there's so many people like that in my life.
Yeah. Why don't you just hit them up?
It's hard, man. My best friend. One of my best friends is a person that I knew like since sixth grade, and we were friends all the way through. And she dated most of my friends, and then we moved in together with, and she started dating my brother. And when that whole thing ended, I just haven't talked to her since, and I can't. It's weird because it's fucked up because she was such a big part of my life for so long, and now I have. I don't know. It's just awkward. And there's, like, my ex-girlfriend, same thing. And some of my old friends. And I don't know what to do. What do you do?
Yeah. The one girl that I was kind of with for a little while, we kind of ended things badly. And I hit her up. Because we stopped talking in probably early 2012. And I hit her up like 2 months ago.
Because this
was the girl that I was like, all right, I could definitely see myself with her for a long time. Like, we had fun together. She was in on every bit. We were silly.
Mm-hmm.
We'd watch stupid movies and just laugh till 6 a.m, you know, that kind of stuff. And I just hit her up and I was just like, hey, you know, I haven't talked to you in a while. How is everything? And now we talk quite a bit. And nothing's going to come from it because we're 2,500 miles away or whatever. But it's just like, oh, yeah, I can have fun with you. Like, this is why I liked you so much. It's because we just have fun.
Yeah. And then you got cheated on?
I miss her so much. No, wait, she didn't cheat on me.
She didn't.
No.
You did. That did happen, though.
Yeah.
Do you talk to that person still?
This is a story. So I was dating this girl, and my best friend, who has been my best friend since fourth grade, I still consider her my best friend, finger banged her on a couch while I was holding her hand.
Oh.
And I didn't, and like, our relationship never suffered because I didn't find out until 2.5 years later.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I'm not mad at you
Wait,
anymore.
Were you together with that girl? Are you dating that girl?
Yeah.
He did that?
Yeah.
It's fucked
this was
up.
Like sophomore year of high school. So we're
total
just,
violation of the bro code right
oh,
there.
Oh, very. Very much. And I still give him shit about
yeah.
it. But I mean, since I found out so much later, like, there was never a fight. Because
yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, fuck her. She's a bitch.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But I was like, I mean, it's a shitty thing. It's a terribly shitty thing to do.
Exactly. But
he's like that.
That's horrible. Like,
yeah.
You got to be cautious whenever you bring
yeah.
a girl around.
But I mean, that's the girl that I got, like, we started being together because she cheated on her boyfriend with me. And so I was like, I can't really expect anything different. Like,
yeah.
I can't be that mad at you because I was this guy at one point. And so, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Girls are shitty. What was your question? Hey, women suck. What was your question?
You're afraid of death?
No.
Why?
I don't want to die, and I'm sure if I was put in a life or death situation, I'd be scared. But I mean, what happens when I die? I'm relieved of all responsibility. Okay, that's cool. That's
one way to look at it.
Yeah, but I mean,
don't you?
Yeah, the only reason I don't want to die is because I don't want the people I love to be sad.
Yeah.
I'm so anti-sadness. Like, if you've listened to anything
yeah.
I said, I don't know. When people close to me die, I don't like people talking about it because it just makes me sad. I don't like to be sad. And so I don't want to die because I don't want my parents and my siblings and my friends to be sad. But if I die, fuck, like, oh, I don't have to worry about anything?
Yeah.
Okay.
I also don't get to enjoy anything anymore.
Yeah.
This life full of so much unsadness and happiness and joy that you created for yourself, and then it's all over.
I need your life, bro. Not I'm always sad. That's not true. Like, if a guy were to come up to me with a gun, I'd be like, hey, maybe don't kill me because I don't want to die. But I don't know if I'm afraid of it.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm scared of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody in that situation would prefer to live.
but
you know,
I don't think I'd be too unhappy when I die.
Yeah, like, so you don't have, like, I freak out about it. Like,
about
where
dying?
I'll just be lying in bed and I'll be like, fuck, I'm going to die, and I'll feel like I'm going to have a panic
Jesus,
attack.
Jesus, bro.
Yeah.
Do you go to therapy?
No, but I probably
should.
And
we all should.
And
everybody should.
The most recent one was like the most fucked up one because I was thinking about my kids and how they're growing up.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking of like how quick it's all going, and I'm like,
well,
fuck,
yeah,
I'm gonna
got
be
people
dead.
That depend on you, bro. That's
I'm gonna
different.
Be no, not even like I just think about like getting older and
yeah.
like I'm not thinking about like, oh, I might die right now. I'd just be like, but it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
It's when it's gonna end at some point.
Yeah.
You know, and then
and that kind of comes back to another reason why I want to do comedy is because I want, like, something that people can remember me by.
Yeah.
And not just, like, my Facebook pictures. Like, that's not...
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like to think about death.
Why?
I do a lot, but I don't like it. Because it's just so sad.
It's too sad.
And it's just... I mean, I think all the time about... how I moved away from my mom and just how I don't want to be away from her.
Mm-hmm. You guys close?
Yeah. My whole family is close.
Yeah.
I mean, when I say my mom, I genuinely mean my whole family. But her the most just because of, like, I don't want to be without her.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I moved away. And so that just kind of... That makes me second guess this decision the most.
Yeah.
Just being away from family. Because it is a short life, and it's we don't have all this time, so why not spend it with the people we love? But
yeah. So you don't usually find humor in death?
No.
Okay.
Not
that's
often.
That's the touchy subject for you.
Yeah, I mean, death happens, and it sucks. And I've had people close to me die.
Yeah. A lot?
Thank goodness not a lot, no. Okay. Very, very sporadically.
What's up, man?
Hey, Hassan.
I was totally going to just try to get my...
It's okay. We're just talking about death and sadness.
Yeah, I thought I could do this silently.
You could have easily.
I could have easily. You guys would have not noticed me.
All right, so we're talking about death, which you're not a fan of talking about.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't care. I don't mind talking about death as a subject.
Yeah.
But just, like, when the people close to me have died,
yeah.
I know that for the next 2 weeks, the phone calls and just talking about it, like,
yeah.
I'd rather, and I know it's not healthy, a lot of people need to talk about it. I'd rather just deal with it and then just talk about other things
yeah.
with people.
When I'm, like, I hate, yeah, I know what you mean, and I don't, like, I'm terrified of dying, and I don't want anybody else
yeah.
in my life to die. It
yeah.
seems terrible. But I also don't like that people make death this thing that's, like, so...
heroic?
No, just, like, I mean, yeah, like, it's sad. But, like, why are you putting yourself in these situations where you're forcing yourself to grieve and
yeah.
cry? And it's, like, since it's so terrible, you know?
Yeah.
I just, like, I would want to be... like, around people being trying to cheer each other up instead
yeah,
of, like...
for sure.
Like, my mom's side of the family, when my dad died, were the worst people to be around. And my dad's side of the family were all, like... like, my grandma was so great about it because she was just, like, making us feel so much better about it. She's like,
yeah,
I'm sad. That was my son. But, like, what are we going to do? Like, let's just...
There's nothing you can do to change it, so why be sad?
Yeah. And, you know, the way they celebrated it by, like, it's basically a party
yeah.
for, like, a couple of days when the person passes away. And that just seems like a better way to go about it.
Yeah.
I mean, they pray a lot, which is not cool, but...
I had a friend die, and we did this little candlelight vigil. And then after that, we just all got hammered. And it was great.
Yeah.
You know, we're all just making jokes. I mean, we're all thinking about what happened, but we're all just like... hey, this is where we need to be, is just with each other.
Yeah.
Like, this is the best place.
Yeah, it's true.
The guy that fingered my girlfriend, he almost died.
Fingering
in a car
somebody?
Accident, but he's alive.
Yeah.
So sometimes God makes the wrong decision. That's the funniest thing I've ever said. He's going to listen to this whole thing now, because I need to tell him that. Sometimes God makes the wrong decision. Stefan, please don't die in a car accident. I love you forever.
Man, this is great. This is really like, I think, what do you want to do? Like, this is what I want to do with stand-up.
Podcast?
No, is talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
And stuff that people think is so depressing. And embarrassing and horrible.
Well, and the other thing I love about comics, too, is just, like, I've never met a collective group of people that are so honest.
Yeah.
Because we have to be. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the thing that goes in with death, too, is, like, when you talk to someone about someone's death, you're not honest anymore.
Yeah.
Because you can't say anything bad, you can't say anything negative, you know, everything is just whatever, and
yeah.
it's not, it loses the honesty. And, I mean, for a good reason.
Yeah.
I'm not like, hey, let's talk shit about dead people. But it's like, besides having fun, like, I think the other main thing in life, like, just be honest.
Yeah.
And, I mean, in high school, yeah. I was so dishonest with myself and with other people. And now I feel like I fit in here. Like, I always thought I was fucked up in high school. And then I come here and I'm like, oh, they're all fucked up too. We're best friends.
Yeah.
But... yeah, we can just be so honest with each other and so open about everything.
Yeah.
There's, like, people have secrets, but it's not like everything's a secret.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, we're open. We're open.
Yeah.
I love honesty almost as much as I love fun.
Yeah. Honesty's fun.
Sometimes. Sometimes it hurts.
But I'm also kind of masochistic, so even if something hurts, I kind of enjoy it.
Bro, you need therapy. For sure.
It's just... All right, so we're talking about death, which you're not a fan of talking about.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't care. I don't mind talking about death as a subject.
Yeah.
But just, like, when the people close to me have died,
yeah,
I know that for the next 2 weeks, the phone calls and just talking about it, like, yeah. I'd rather, and I know it's not healthy, a lot of people need to talk about it. I'd rather just deal with it and then just talk about other things,
yeah,
with people.
When I'm, like, I hate, yeah, I know what you mean, and I don't, like, I'm terrified of dying, and I don't want anybody else,
yeah,
in my life to die. It, yeah, seems terrible. But I also don't like that people make death this thing that's, like, so...
heroic?
No, just, like, I mean, yeah, like, it's sad, but, like, why are you putting yourself in these situations where you're forcing yourself to grieve and,
yeah,
cry? And it's, like, since it's so terrible, you know,
yeah,
I just, like, I would want to be... like, around people trying to cheer each other up instead,
yeah,
of, like...
for sure.
Like, my mom's side of the family, when my dad died, were the worst people to be around. And my dad's side of the family were all, like... like, my grandma was so great about it because she was just, like, making us feel so much better about it. She's like,
yeah,
yeah, I'm sad. That was my son. But, like, what are we going to do? Like, let's just...
There's nothing you can do to change it, so why be sad?
Yeah. And, you know, the way they celebrated it by, like, it's basically a party,
yeah,
for, like, a couple of days when the person passes away. And that just seems like a better way to go about it.
Yeah.
I mean, they pray a lot, which is not cool, but...
I had a friend die, and we did this little candlelight vigil. And then after that, we just all got hammered. And it was great.
Yeah.
You know, we're all just making jokes. I mean, we're all thinking about what happened, but we're all just like... hey, this is where we need to be, is just with each other.
Yeah.
Like, this is the best place.
Yeah, it's true.
The guy that fingered my girlfriend, he almost died.
Fingering
in a car
somebody?
Accident, but he's alive.
Yeah.
So sometimes God makes the wrong decision. That's the funniest thing I've ever said. He's going to listen to this whole thing now, because I need to tell him that. Sometimes God makes the wrong decision. Stefan, please don't die in a car accident. I love you forever.
Man, this is great. This is really like, I think, what do you want to do? Like, this is what I want to do with stand-up.
Podcast?
No. Is talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
And stuff that people think is so depressing. And embarrassing and horrible.
Well, and the other thing I love about comics, too, is just, like, I've never met a collective group of people that are so honest.
Yeah.
Because we have to be. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, that's kind of the thing that goes in with death, too, is, like, when you talk to someone about someone's death, you're not honest anymore.
Yeah.
Because you can't say anything bad, you can't say anything negative, you know, everything is just whatever, and
yeah,
it's not, it loses the honesty. And, I mean, for a good reason.
Yeah.
I'm not like, hey, let's talk shit about dead people. But it's like, besides having fun, like, I think the other main thing in life, like, just be honest.
Yeah.
And, I mean, in high school, yeah, I was so dishonest with myself and with other people. And now I just, I feel like I fit in here. Like, I always thought I was fucked up in high school. And then I come here and I'm like, oh, they're all fucked up too. We're best friends.
Yeah.
But... yeah, we can just be so honest with each other and so open about everything.
Yeah.
There's, like, people have secrets, but it's not like everything's a secret.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, we're open. We're open.
Yeah.
I love honesty almost as much as I love fun.
Yeah. Honesty's fun.
Sometimes. Sometimes it hurts.
But I'm also kind of masochistic, so even if something hurts, I kind of enjoy it.
Bro, you need therapy. For sure.
It was just... any other sad things you want to talk about?
A lot of sadness.
Well, yeah, but also a lot of positivity.
Yeah, I mean, there's positivity in everything. You can, like, shitty things happen, but there's something good that comes... I fully believe that.
Yeah.
There can be something good that comes out of everything.
Do you like being? You're not. I mean, are you sad?
Nah.
You're a happy person.
Kinda.
I'm kind of happy in my sadness.
Yeah. I mean, the thing. I think the difference between. I don't know. Cause I mean, I definitely have. I'm definitely feeling shitty about everything, you know, about me, about my comedy, about, you know, whatever. But I think that the good, I think that the positivity outweighs the negativity.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned. Yeah. I don't know about everyone else, but that's, yeah, I feel like I'm more happy than I am sad. Like, I might be more sad than I've ever been now, but I'm also way more happy than I've ever been. So yeah. it just kind of feels like I'm fine.
Yeah, but even having those two extremes, it's still feeling more things than if you were just kind of like okay all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of emotions.
You cry a lot?
Not a lot.
What's once a week? Once a month?
I don't know when the last time I had like a real cry. Like, I'll cry during movies.
Okay.
I'm not afraid to be.
What'll really get you? What's the last
Lion
movie that
King.
Really? Every time?
Every time.
You'll cry every time?
Once a month. I watch that movie once a month at least, and I bawl my eyes out. It's so good. Nothing on earth, no art in the history of mankind will ever be better than what is 1994's Disney's The Lion King. It's so good.
Okay. What about that movie? What's the scene that really gets you?
Everything.
Everything from beginning to end?
I'm in tears already. And then it just goes, Pride Rock.
Yeah.
Here's Simba. He's the new king. Tears. Scar's being an asshole. And then Scar kills Mufasa. More tears.
Yeah.
Simba's crying. I'm crying too. Timon and Pumbaa are so funny, I'm crying. This is the other thing about, just a quick sidebar, this girl that I've been talking to.
Lex Lion King?
The first, it was kind of a date, kind of just our first time hanging out alone, was to see The Lion King on its 3D re-release in theaters. That's when I knew that I was like, this is the girl I want to be with for the rest of my life.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, dude. It's...
I didn't watch it for a long time, and I forgot how good it was because I rewatched it like
oh, bro,
like 2 years ago.
Oh, bro, it's the
ago. Best. Well,
it's
I mean,
the best. A lot of reality TV shows make me cry.
Really?
Not like Survivor, but like Undercover Boss. You ever watch that? Makes me cry. Not Hell's Kitchen. Kitchen Nightmares, where he goes and fixes people's kitchens.
Why is that?
Because at the end, it's just like, oh, I'm so thankful for what you did. And then he's like, oh... Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to help you guys. And then they're like, no, you don't understand. I'm thankful. And then I just start crying because they're happy.
Yeah.
So Undercover Boss, he's like, I'm going to pay for your tuition to college. And then they cry. And then I'm like, I'm so happy for it. I don't even know these people.
Yeah.
I'm just
that's pretty cool. You're in touch with emotions.
Any emotional movie. I mean, other than Lion King, the one movie I cry every time is Fox and the Hound. I sound like a child.
That is a fucking sad movie,
though.
Oh,
it's
though.
So sad. That's
not even
a
happy
cry.
Ending.
Yeah.
Like, come
yeah,
on, man. Like, give us something.
Cry.
What the fuck?
That's my crying, like, I hate my life.
Can you imagine, like, if you, being a kid during that era, going to the theaters and seeing that movie?
My high school used to do a blood drive where we'd go and give blood. And I gave blood, and then I went and sat in the waiting room where they had, like, a bunch of food for us. And they're playing Fox and the Hound. And I started crying, and I was like, why are you guys playing this movie? We're all lightheaded and hungry, and we just donated our lives to someone else. And you're going to play the saddest movie of all time?
That's pretty fucked up. Any adult movies that make you cry?
Yes. I just saw Interstellar, and that made me cry.
Okay.
I mean, Remember the Titans makes me cry. That's also a children's movie.
Not really.
I'm a boy. I'm a little boy.
Okay.
In a man's body. Not even a man's body. A bigger boy's body.
Yeah.
I'm a little boy in a bigger boy's body. That's my quote. No, I cried during a lot of shit.
Okay.
And I used to... Whenever something new and exciting is happening, it'll all build up and be great, and then it'll hit a peak, and I'll just break the fuck down and cry.
That's really interesting.
But it doesn't happen that often.
When
I first went to college,
yeah,
all my roommates would just get drunk in the dorms And it was so fun and so exciting. And I just remember just calling my mom and being like, I don't know what to do. And I just cried.
Because you were happy?
No.
Okay.
Just because it was so much.
Yeah.
And I think it was, I moved out here 2 years ago, January.
Yeah.
I went home that June. And that was before I had any comedy friends or anything. I would just go to the open mic, get up, stay quiet, yeah. Leave at the end. And I went home and hung out with all my friends, and it was great, and I came back here. And I just remember going on my back porch and just breaking down and crying.
Yeah.
Just because, like, I didn't know if this was the right move. I didn't know if this, you know, I wanted to be with my friends again. I didn't have friends out yeah. here. Just everything just builds up and then just hits that point.
Yeah.
And then I cry and then I go to bed and then I wake up and I'm like, hey.
So why did you come out then? Why did you move here?
I don't know.
It was like an impulsive thing?
Kind of.
It was a little impulsive?
I'd been saying for a while I was going to move to California. I was going to move to L.A. Yeah. Is what I said originally. And then I just hit a point. Because it's funny because no one believed me.
Yeah.
Because I'd said things like that before. And I was in a mansion in the boondocks of Colorado for my sister's wedding. Just sitting and looking at nature. Not even drunk, not even high. Just being like, all right, I'm going to do this. And I went inside all excited. I was like, here's the date I'm going to fly out. Here's what I'm going to do. Yeah. I'm leaving. And my family would be like, oh, that's cool. And I was like, no, you guys, you don't know. I'm serious this yeah. time. I just remember being like, from that point on, it was just like, yeah, I'm moving.
What was it about that moment? That
I don't know. Something just...
Something just clicked.
Clicked, yeah. Just, cool. All right, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out there and I'm going to get it. And I'm...
Yeah, so then you moved out without really thinking about it, and then all of a sudden you're overwhelmed by all this change. And
yeah.
This sounds scary.
I moved out. My sister and brother had moved here weeks before I flew out. They had an apartment. And so I flew out, and I was just going to stay with them until we found something. And as I'm boarding the plane, my sister calls and goes, hey, we got a house. And I was like, all right. So
this place?
Yeah. This house we're sitting at yeah. right now is the house we got. And I was like, all right, we're going to do this. This is it. I don't need to find a place. I have a place. I'm going to go there. We're going to do comedy. I'm going to get a job. This is my new adventure.
That's pretty awesome.
And I still think about, like, because even I can't believe I did it.
Yeah.
Because it's not like me. I love comfort zones, you know, and I love being around. I don't like new relationships. If I had my choice, I'd be with the people I grew up with forever.
Yeah.
And I don't regret this at all. I love these people more than I love my friends at home. That's not true. Stefan, if you're listening, how about you fuck somebody else's girlfriend? But... I was just saying this to my brother and sister. It's like, I still can't believe I'm in California. Like, it's weird to me.
Yeah.
This whole thing just seems like, I don't know. Doesn't seem like life.
Yeah. It is weird.
It's so weird.
It's coming out every night to this place. It's just fucking weird.
Yeah. It's so weird. But it's awesome. And I love it. I'm so happy I did it. And it's been 2 years now, which is crazy. Feels like a month.
2 years?
2 years. I'd have been here next month. 2 years.
Yeah, that makes sense. God, I forgot I've been doing this long.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, my kids are two, and I started comedy before they were born, so fuck.
Yeah. I miss telling people I'm less than a year in.
Why?
Because then they don't have expectations. Then it's like, holy shit, you're really good for how young you are. But now people are like, how long you been doing it? I'm like, 2 years. They're like, oh, that makes sense. I'm like, no, fuck. Give me credit. That's how I know I've gotten bad at comedy.
How?
Is when people aren't surprised by how long I've been doing it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's. I remember, I think I remember the first time I saw you at ACC. and you're doing really well for your first time. And I was like, fuck this guy.
I love that, though. I love that.
I was just like, who does he think he is? Being funny on this open
when
mic?
Because I just did ACC for like eight or nine months. Exclusively. Once a week. Just ACC, nothing else. And I thought I was the shit.
Yeah.
I remember going to different places just to watch and being like, why would I ever do comedy here? This is terrible. And then eventually being like, hey, will you please book me for a year? This sounds awesome. But, yeah, I mean, yeah.
We Jake wanted us to talk about him on the podcast, so do you want to talk
about
Jake
is a bald, ugly, fat fucker. Nobody likes him. I've taken more naps during Jake's sets than I have in my entire life combined.
Are you a fan of the scene?
I think San Diego's a really good scene. We get a lot of stage time. We have a lot of good comics. What Billy and Zoltan are doing for San Diego comedy, I think, is huge.
Yeah.
And I think in the next, you know, 10 whatever years, I think San Diego will be one of the places to go for up-and-coming comedians.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we got here when we did. But there's a lot of people I don't like. But, yeah, I mean, it's great. It's a great scene. We have really funny people. We have really good shows. We got four clubs. Like, what more can you ask for from a comedy scene?
More stage time, I guess.
Maybe less Jake, but... No, it's a great scene. And people, I've talked to people that aren't in our scene that are jealous of us. Yeah. You know, even people from OC, people from Long Beach, people from, talking to this guy from Canada that's been here for a week and we're just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Montreal even, which is a big.
Like even like Matt Louvre. Like,
yeah.
Saying
yeah.
Saying how great it is.
Yeah, and Jeffrey says that it's a lot better than San Fran.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's other places that are better. But I got so lucky coming here. Because it's not like this was an established scene.
Yeah. Did you know that there was even a scene down here?
I did. I heard Pete Holmes mention it once.
Oh, really?
I think that San Diego was a good... I don't remember. Someone said something about it, and I was like, oh, San Diego. Yeah. That's very close to L.A. It's as far away as I can get from Michigan. Because, I mean, the obvious choice for me was Chicago, but I didn't want to be... I didn't want to have that safety net.
Yeah.
I wanted to get out and not have anything to fall back on.
Yeah.
And this was so far... It was... For me, it was between here and, like, Seattle.
That would have been a good
Portland,
one, too.
Portland, maybe. Yeah, I would love to be in Seattle, too. But I'm definitely happy. I don't think it could have been better than this.
Yeah.
As far as what I'm doing goes. There's just... so many cool people here and so many opportunities.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about your insecurities with your comedy?
No. Yeah. Ask me a question.
What would you say is your biggest insecurity as far as, like, the thing you produce on stage?
I think there's two. I think one is kind of what we touched on earlier, just being more myself, being this big, goofy. Jeffrey Berner, do you know who that is?
I've heard of him, yeah.
He once said, I've been trying to take this to heart. He once said, you are the smartest big dumb idiot in San Diego. And I was like, if I can translate that phrase to an act,
yeah.
I would be so happy. Because I love that.
Yeah.
And it is kind of like, that's kind of what I, because I'm not stupid. You know, I scored very well on standardized tests. No, but like, I was always smart and I have a lot of pop culture knowledge. And so just to get things to be very clever, but also with very dumb jokes, yeah. I think is like a cool idea. And so I'd like to encapsulate that into an act. And it's hard, but I feel like I've been doing a better job recently.
Yeah.
And hopefully in the next couple years I'll find something that works. and get the whole voice thing figured out.
Yeah.
But until then, I'll just cruise with it. And I think the other thing, so one is being myself, and two is I don't think I'm a very good, writer
mm-hmm.
as far as jokes, as far as sets go. And I'd like to be better at that. But at the same time, like, I know one of my stronger things is being like a big dumb idiot and doing crowd work with that. And so I've just been kind of trying to do more crowd work, but not forced crowd work.
Yeah.
Like, tonight I did the show, and I had 10 minutes of material, but I probably did 5 minutes of material.
Yeah, you're talking to the people the rest of the time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just to...
Is that
I go in with the intention of doing a set, mm-hmm. and then something happens, then I can break off of that. I don't go in with the intention of, I'm going to do crowd work. Because I've tried to do that, and it doesn't work. But to go in and to have 10 minutes, and to be like, I'm going to do these 10 minutes, and then when something does happen, then you go into the crowd work. I think that's what I've been doing lately, and I think that really... It works, and it helps me become better.
Yeah. Does that kind of like what you want to do?
Yeah, I think so. Because I love connecting with a crowd. I love, you know, being like, hey, we're not all up here just telling these things we've written.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
okay.
1-1-1-1-1. Like,
yeah.
Nah, let's... Let's have fun. Yeah. Why do I keep saying this? Oh, because I'm obsessed with having fun, which is such a lame thing. yeah, but let's, like, because I want to have fun, but I also want them to have fun. And I think the best way to do that is just to be, like, in the moment.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you guys heard that, too? That guy with the obnoxious laugh? Let's talk about it.
Yeah. That's pretty
I think
good.
It's more fun.
I like that.
Me, too.
Any final thoughts?
Guys. Everyone, just have fun. Have fun. Don't talk about death. Have fun. Be honest. Acknowledge David Zafra. Don't think he's just a regular dude. He's the best. Also, Jake Disroon is fat and ugly. And Nick Crosby is my lover. Also, Hassan interrupted the podcast. And I miss my mom. So that's what we got.
Nice, that's good. All right, guys, that was the end of the podcast. Thanks for listening. Poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah. Oh.